Those debit card fees could come down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to take a look at the global perspective in just a moment. But first, something that's pressing here at home, financial reform legislation. Congress continues to debate different bills in the House and Senate, but Democrats have come to an agreement to help merchants by limiting fees banks charge on debit card purchases, which could save consumers money down the road. Speaking of financial reform, starting next week, people who open a bank account will have to opt in for overdraft protection. It used to come courtesy of the banks at your expense. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports new regulation is putting an end to that.
This could be the beginning of the end of the $40 coffee. That's when you use your debit card for your morning mocha and you don't have enough money in your account to cover the charge. The bank lets the charge go through and slaps your $5 coffee with a $35 overdraft fee. Leslie Parrish is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
People were spending billions of dollars a year on overdraft fees.
Now that consumers will have to ask for the coverage, some banks are ending overdraft protection altogether. Others, like Chase, are launching aggressive campaigns to get consumers to opt in. Economist Mike Mebs advises banks. He says banks can still convince consumers to opt into overdraft protection by selling it as a benefit.
The banks are being thrown into a situation where they're saying now, I have got to educate the consumer.
Mebs says a quarter of consumers generate nearly all the money from overdraft fees, so banks can target them with special opt-in offers and other sales pitches. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And now what's going on in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. The British government will unveil an emergency budget within the next hour. It's been forecast to be the harshest budget for the UK in more than 30 years and could be a sign of things to come in the United States and elsewhere. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Thanks for joining us live this morning. Do we have any inkling of what's going to be in this tough budget in the UK?
A lot of pain for the British people. The first real pain of the crisis since the country has been sort of cushioned up to now with stimulus spending by the government and very low interest rates. But the new government has decided that the day of reckoning has arrived, and today it will lay out plans for cutting the deficit in half over the next 4 years.
Now, we've heard about Greek debt, Stephen, and the crisis it caused, but not so much the UK. Are things there really that bad?
Not as bad as Greece, but this is still one of the highest deficits in Europe, around 10 or 11% of GDP, about the size of America's, actually. And the Greek crisis has persuaded governments across Europe to tackle their deficit now before they become the next big target for the speculators and find it difficult or impossible to borrow.
And in this economy, I mean, how does the British plan to walk this tightrope, Stephen, between making needed cuts and not cutting too much?
Well, this is a worry, no doubt about that. And not just here in the UK, but also in the US. Here's Philip White, who analyses the European economy for the Centre for European Reform.
The United States is very worried about the general direction of European policy and is worried that this sudden pan-European withdrawal of fiscal stimulus could have very negative consequences for the world economy as a whole.
And analysts say the US won't just be fretting about the global repercussions. The US itself will have to cut its deficit at some stage, so it'll be watching what happens now in the UK especially with particular interest.
All right, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Stocks are on the minus side overseas today. The ratings agency Fitch downgraded the debt rating of the Eurozone's biggest bank, BNP Paribas, by a notch. European and Asian markets are off today. Wall Street yesterday, markets lost under 1%. The Dow was off 8 points to close at 10,442.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
China's currency swung down today. It's seesawed since the weekend when Beijing unpegged the yuan from the dollar. Long-term, though, most expected to rise, nudging up the price of Chinese exports. But there's another reason Chinese goods may cost more: higher labor costs. Young workers are harder to find, in part because of China's one-child policy. Marketplace China correspondent Scott Tong is with us from Shanghai to explain. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So the one-child policy is going on 30 years. That generation is entering the workforce, right?
Yes, and this generation is, as many people call it, the little emperors. In general, they were the center of their universes growing up. And now the whole constellation has changed. They're now workers. Several HR managers we spoke to describe this generation in general as moodier, more demanding. A friend of mine even said that they take personal calls when they're interviewing. What surveys show clearly is human resources is the number one source of angst for businesses in China.
And answering a personal call during an interview, it doesn't sound like they're going to get hired, right?
Well, you need to hire some people from this generation. I mean, this is a whole generation of people. And for all the complaints, this generation has a lot going for it. They're much more educated than ever before, and they're known to learn quickly. So given the right incentives, they will produce. Now, if you're the company and you get it wrong, they will bolt. The turnover rate in Shanghai is something like 20%, you know, compared to like 5% in advanced economies.
So Scott, so many opportunities there in China. I mean, how do companies hang on to those workers?
It's really hard for them. China's growing so quickly that there aren't enough good people for all of the international companies that want to hire them. So you have these only children who have sky-high expectations. One manager says his workers expect to be promoted every 2 years and a 10% raise every year. Mm-hmm. Well, think about then that China manager for a multinational company. He or she has to call headquarters back in, say, Detroit and ask for double-digit personnel raises. And Detroit says, no, this is a recession. You know, call back when you're sober. So have a little pity for HR managers in China. This is a challenging generation of new workers to deal with.
Marketplace's Scott Tong reporting from Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
And Scott's series on China's one-child policy continues later today on Marketplace. Finally, a bill in cash-strapped California would explore a new source of revenue, selling ads on new digital license plates. The plate would display the license number and then, at stoplights, ads. It could even display missing child alerts. Critics worry it could pose a distraction, though, and take your focus away from the cell phone, radio, or mascara. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.